This is Phil Farrand. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It's actually a little later than normal. It's almost 8 o'clock. So, we had our small group. We are done for the summer, but we try to get together once a month or so. And just go out to a restaurant or they come to our house just to, you know, keep the fellowship going. So we almost didn't make it in June. So this was our June time because we've been busy and had things going here and there and other and blah, 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 blah. But we made it. We made it in June. So anyways, it was fun. We went out to a local restaurant called Rib Crib. And I had some meat. I just had some meat, and it was good. I had some brisket, and had some pulled pork, and had sausage. They were all out of chicken, so we just went with the meat and pork, and so I feel satisfied. Anyway, so it's been a good week. It's been a busy week. Lots of fun things going on, some victories, some little bit of sadness here or there, but you know what? It's okay. We're moving forward, and we actually made some good progress today with something that had kind of been hanging over our heads. We had two different applications that were written in VB6 years ago, and we didn't really have a good handle on the source code and all that kind of stuff. It was just one of those things, you know, the stuff that turns out everything was available, and we did some digging today and some searching, and all of a sudden we found the resources that we needed to find, and we were able to actually get both of the applications up and run them from the development environments, and we were actually able to change connection strings and get them to attach to the databases they need to attach to, and booyah! So, you know, that was progress. As we like to say, that was total success day. So that's good. That's good. Tomorrow is Uncle Sam Day. And that is, Uncle Sam Day is like the second big full costume that I did. And the first time I think I did it was in 2019, I think. So basically, I did it in 2019, 20, 21, 22. This will be the fifth year for this costume, I think. And this was the costume that really triggered something. Well, this costume in conjunction with the leprechaun costume, which was the first costume I did. That was kind of the full-blown costume, where I was trying to do something artistic with pieces that I had assembled. And I had a reaction with that was really intriguing. And then I had the reaction I've talked about in the past to the Uncle Sam costume, where a woman was shouting at me, telling me how much she loved the costume. Shouting. Happened to know her. She's real spunky, but still, she was shouting. You have no idea how happy this makes me. You have no idea how much joy this brings me. And that was really started a cascade of like, wait a minute, what just happened here? So, yeah. So I have fond memories of this costume. Got it all figured out again last night. As I'm going, sometimes I make notes about how to get dressed in costumes because it has to go in the right sequence and everything has to be. And then sometimes I don't have notes and then I'm not really sure and then I need to make notes and et cetera, et cetera. So I made notes last night as we went carefully through it. I have a breakfast buddy scheduled for tomorrow and a breakfast buddy scheduled for Saturday, so we're good. So all is well there. I'm still working on my costume for National Nude Day. And I about got that done. I've got one more piece. I'm finishing up with that. Hopefully get that done this weekend. And then next week is paper bag day. And so I've got some repairs to the paper bag costume because it's seen better days, some of its pieces. So I'll get that done, get that taken care of. And then the next week is National Nude Day. So we're right on schedule for that. Have the rest of the year mapped out. Everything will be fine, I think. And then we'll just see what else comes along. Because frankly, I'm going along. I think I'm done for the year. And then something comes up that strikes me funny, and we figure something else out. So as of this point, I think I've got everything planned out for the rest of the year. We'll see what happens after this. I have been kind of looking at things in terms of like foam armor and latex molds and silicone molds and all those kind of stuff. That stuff looks really interesting as far as, you know, making costumes out of that sort of thing. That's pretty cool. But I don't really have a project for it yet. But if it's supposed to be, it will come along and everything will be fine. The writing is going fine. I'm doing my read-through. Technically, I start my second writing sprint on Sunday. So I'm reading through what I had written in the first writing sprint for book 19. That seems to be fine, seems to be going fine. It can always use more editing, but there's no time. And so I do what I can, and we just go forward from there. So it's good though. I'm starting to kind of think about all the pieces that need to be wrapped up before the end of the series, because once I get this book done, once I get 19 done, I only have 5 more left. So, you know, I got to start bringing it home. Next book, 20, will be the halfway point in the third octet, which there are 8 books in an octet. So it'll be the halfway there, so that something substantial has to happen there. I already know something substantial that happens in book 22. And then, of course, book 23 and book 24 are basically the dead run to, you know, heading out. And the penultimate book in any octet so far has been a cliffhanger. So basically, 23 and 24 are going to have to be a part 1 and part 2. And we'll do the cliffhanger again on 23. So, you know, I'm getting those kind of big rocks in place and kind of figure out what the pieces are, about what it should look like. So, but book 19, I'm saying some things that I want to say in book 19. So it's fun. It's fun. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Here in just a couple of days, it'll be 2 years. 2 years until I retire. So that's something. Seems amazing. It just seems amazing. So we'll see what comes after that. I was talking to a buddy. I was out with a buddy. We were having dinner on Tuesday. And we were talking about this, that, and the other. He actually said something that made me sad. Made me sad. And I hadn't heard about it. Well, maybe I had, but maybe I just thought it was allegations. I don't know. But it just drove home again to me how important it is, how vitally important it is for us to understand our subsystems, what their purpose is, what they are trying to accomplish. Because we as humans tend to deceive ourselves into thinking we're some kind of a unified whole. But for someone like me who's a systems analyst, I can tell you, no, you're not really a unified whole. You are a whole stack of subsystems. And they're all working for different purposes, and sometimes they're not necessarily working for your benefit. Not to mention the fact that I think the estimate is that we have 10 times the amount of bacterial DNA in our systems as there is human DNA. We play host to a tremendous amount of bacteria, and that bacteria keeps us alive. Helps us with digestion. I mean, there's just tons of stuff that bacteria does for us. So we are this symbiotic relationship of subsystems, and if you don't understand what those subsystems are trying to accomplish, they will just wreak destruction in your life. And my buddy, as we were talking about gender issues, he said, well, I'm sure you heard about Ravi Zacharias, which, if you don't know who Ravi Zacharias was, he was a tremendous author, tremendous Bible teacher, apologist for the gospel. I mean, just thinker, very intelligent, very, seemingly very wise. And yet, apparently, did not understand his reproductive systems and what he needed to do to keep from spreading destruction around him. And sadly, after he died, the allegations started coming out, and his own ministry, Ravi Zacharias International Ministries, commissioned a report, and their investigation concluded in this article I've got is from 2021. Their investigation concluded that Ravi Zacharias was guilty of sexual misconduct. The report they commissioned investigated allegations of sexual misconduct by its founder, who died in May of 21, and it concluded that the evangelical apologist, author, and speaker engaged in a pattern of sexual misconduct. Details in the report included romantic emails that Zacharias sent to women, explicit photos received from younger women, testimonies from massage therapists, at least one who worked at the spa co-owned by Zacharias, of lewd behavior. One therapist reported that after Zacharias arranged for the ministry to provide her with financial support, he required sex from her. She said that Zacharias made her pray with him and that he saw her as, quote, a reward, unquote, for his long service to God. She said, quote, she said he warned her never to speak out against him or she would be responsible for the millions of souls whose salvation would be lost if his reputation was damaged. Okay. So when you make those types of statements, he realizes that what he is doing is putting everything at risk. He's putting everything at risk. The board had a statement. They said it must have been deeply painful for the victims of Ravi's abuse and misconduct to tell their stories and to relive their terrible experiences as they participated in this investigation. To you, we say directly, words cannot come close to expressing the sorrow that we feel for what you have been through or the gratitude we feel for the bravery with which you have responded. We are so thankful to you, and we are so sorry. And you know, you come across these stories, and you see these powerful men. And it's not that they don't understand what they're doing. It's not that they don't understand that it's wrong. Wrong. They know that. And yet they just keep going forward. And just keep causing the destruction. Why? Obviously, because it's flesh. It's flesh. Okay, so what's the solution? What are the dynamics that are happening here? How is this possible that someone so wise and so intelligent can get in this knot? You know, it's like the New York Attorney General, whatever his name was, that had put in place all of these investigations to catch people who were trying to launder money or spend money in ways that couldn't be traced. And the whole time, he's hiring escorts, and he gets caught by the very same tools he puts in place. And you just look at that and go, you're an idiot. And they are an idiot, but it's flesh. And it has deceived them. And the thing about it is, if you have some understanding of what the reproductive systems are up to and what they are trying to accomplish, you have a far better chance of standing against this stuff. Now, I'm not world famous. Thank God. Okay? I don't have women trying to get my attention and trying to impress me as I'm sure Ravi Zacharias did. But I do know some very basic, important things. I know that my flesh is not my friend. I know that my reproductive system is not my friend. I know my reproductive system has one job: make babies. And it will do everything it can trying to trick me into making babies. Okay, testosterone and all that kind of stuff. Its job is to hype a guy up to where he's constantly looking for someone to impregnate, because that's how it gets him to make babies. I also know that because that's my reproductive system's main job, is to make babies, it doesn't give a rip about me. And it doesn't give a rip about any of the people around me. And it's perfectly willing to dehumanize women and treat them as objects simply because it's trying to trick me into making babies. Under what rubric can you possibly justify treating women the way Ravi Zacharias treated young women? The only rubric that you can use is to turn them into toys and then try to manipulate them into not giving away your secret by emotionally strong-arming them with statements like, well, you know, you can't tell anybody about this because there would be millions of souls who would be damaged if my reputation goes bad. Dear God. This is sadness. This is sadness. I'm not saying I'm not capable of it. But this is sadness. And I would just hope. I've been not in exactly that situation, but I've been in situations where I have seen where it could possibly lead. It was Christmas. I was dressed up in some kind of Christmas costume. And this younger woman came up and asked for some help. And she was needing to get a bus ticket, needed to get out of town. And one thing led to another. And I really felt like God told me, you need to help her. And so I was like, okay, let's go. And, you know, so as I'm kind of loading her up and going to take her down to the Greyhound bus station, which I didn't know at the time. I didn't realize that the Greyhound bus station is closed from 9 to noon on Fridays. In the morning, I was just going to drive down there, buy her a ticket, and say, be with God, go with grace. That's a whole long story. But at one point, she started ramping up. You know, because you kind of look cute in that outfit. I was like, oh, here we go. I said, you know, I don't do it for that. I do it to make people smile. Oh, no, right. And then she backed off, and she never started that again. Before she left, I'd gotten her some money, and I, you know, prayed with her, and so I gave her the money, and she said, now, you don't want anything for this? I said, no, I do not need anything from you for this. Okay, this is just one human to another human hoping that things go well for you. Use it to get whatever ticket you need to get and get wherever you need to go. Okay, that's it. Okay. Because she's a human being. She's not some tool that I use to lower my sperm count. And it's just so sad that someone who was as intelligent and as wise and such a great speaker and writer as Ravi Zacharias was missing that essential piece of information. It's just so sad. My buddy also asked me, so what do you think? So does this completely invalidate his whole ministry? And I said, no, it doesn't invalidate his whole ministry. Much of what he spoke was the truth. He was flawed. We're all flawed. We should all be very careful to love God, forgive others, move forward. Doesn't invalidate his ministry. But land almighty, how much better it would have been if Ravi Zacharias just understood the dynamics of his reproductive system. And if instead of trying to figure out how to use these women as a tool, he would have just said to God upon seeing them, I thank you, my God, that you have placed such beauty in the world, and then gone on to bless them. I'm asking you, my God, to make their life prosperous, give them wisdom, give them strength in everything they're pursuing. If they are wives, help them to be a blessing to their husband. If they are mothers, help them to be a blessing to their children. If they are as yet unmarried and without children, keep their lives in purity so that when they meet their husbands, they can have a relationship with their husbands that is pure and wondrous and produces beautiful children. This is the way. This is the way. You get your mind off of this person being a tool, and you see them as the human being, and you bless them in Christ, It's really hard to lust after a woman if you are blessing her as a child of God. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.